Today, I would like to address the topic of the Abrahamic seed of blessing, and specifically who makes up the seed. It is a topic that comes up regularly at our conventions and even in our publications. For example, in a recent Beauties of the Truth publication concerning the idea of repairing the world, we are told that the Abrahamic seed of blessing has two components, a spiritual seed, the stars, and a fleshly seed, the sand. For most of us as Bible students, this is a teaching that we have grown up with and accepted as truth. After all, it was taught by Pastor Russell, although he expressed two slightly different views on the matter. Here in reprint 1316, he states that there would be two elect churches, Jewish and Christian, that would unitedly bless all the families of the earth. Whereas in reprint 4453, Brother Russell expresses the thought that the part of the seed referred to in Romans 4:16 as witches of the faith of Abraham paralleled the stars of heaven, and that this was the spiritual seed developed during the gospel age. Furthermore, that the second part, which is of the law, referred to all the families of the earth who became children of Abraham, brought forth under the new covenant, and which paralleled the sand of the seashore. We also note that the article on the Beauties of the Truth and Pastor Russell mainly use the picture of the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore and Romans 4:16 as justifications for this view. Today I would like to look at what the scriptures say concerning this topic. As a beginning, the first thing we notice is that the article states that the seed is made up of a spiritual seed and a fleshly seed. Evidently, it would seem that the spiritual seed is fundamentally different to the fleshly seed, so that we in fact have two seeds. And it is difficult to see how two different seeds can be parts of one seed. This is important because the Apostle Paul draws our attention to a very similar point in Galatians 3, verse 16, where he says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ." Here then, Paul gives us two vital pieces of information. Firstly, that there is only one seed and not many. And secondly, we are told that the seed of promise is Christ, or in other words, the anointed. This leads to a second related question. How is it possible that a fleshly seed as well as a spiritual seed are both part of the anointed? Firstly, we need to clarify what is meant by seed. In Galatians 3:16, and the quoted verses in Genesis 22, seed is in the singular, not the plural. This would seemingly rule out more than one seed, just from a grammatical point of view. However, the word seed in the singular, which is often used figuratively to refer to someone descending from another, in English, Hebrew, and ancient Greek, can have a singular or collective meaning. This is where confusion can arise. For one might think that the use of the collective singular meaning of seed, as we have in relation to the Abrahamic seed of promise, allows for more than one seed. However, with the collective meaning, the individual elements are viewed as a unit together, as a whole. So even the plurality contained within the collective is considered as a single unit. It does not allow many units. This is important because, as used in our verses, the single unit of the collective meaning rules out that there are more than one seed, in line with Apostle Paul's point in Galatians 3:16. A seed, therefore, as used here in the collective sense, refers to a collection of individuals that have a common origin from or commonality with one common ancestor. This makes each member of the group a relative of one another. In the case of natural Israel, the common ancestor is Abraham. Abraham is the natural ancestor of each member of the fleshly nation of Israel. Each of these fleshly Israelites sprang forth from his loins. Similarly, spiritual Israel is the seed of Abraham because, like Abraham, each member of the spiritual seed has had righteousness imputed to them because of their faith. This is the reason he is called the father of the faithful. So we can see then that these two groups are two quite different seeds or classes, because the commonality with Abraham is quite different. Natural Israel has the commonality of natural descent from Abraham, whereas spiritual Israel has the commonality of justification by faith. Because the commonality with Abraham is clearly different, the spiritual seed and fleshly seed therefore cannot be parts of the one seed. To be parts of the same seed, the commonality with Abraham would necessarily have to be the same. This is made even clearer when we come back and answer our second question. How is it possible that a fleshly seed as well as a spiritual seed are part of the anointed? We have noted Paul's unequivocal statement that the one seed to whom the promises were made is Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27 tells us that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ, having put on Christ through baptism into Christ. Only those that have been begotten of the Holy Spirit have Christ dwelling in them, for they are anointed. For this is what Christ means after all. Anointed with the same spirit of personal beheading, to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to do the will of God and not their own. Like Jesus, their aims and human rights are laid aside and replaced with the will of God, so that like Jesus, they can say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." How blessed it is to see this mystery of God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Knowing then that there is one seed, and that one seed is Christ, qualification for which is based on faith, excludes any other seed, particularly one based on natural descent alone. This one seed of promise, the Christ, based on the commonality of faith, and faith alone with Father Abraham, makes clear that it is only the spiritual seed that inherits the promises to bless all the families of the earth. It is the anointed that was typified in Isaac, the collection of individuals that are united by their faith and therefore qualify as children of the promise, as Galatians 4 verse 28 makes clear. Paul introduces us to the family of Abraham as an allegory, and this helps us to see that it is only the household of faith, the we brethren in Galatians 4:28, that are counted as the children of promise. Isaac is the type of this faith-based spiritual seed of promise. For Isaac was born according to the promise made by God to Abraham and Sarah, that they would have a son despite Sarah's barrenness and advanced age. And who is the type in this allegory of natural Israel? It is Ishmael, the son of the bondwoman Hagar, who together were cast out. And for what purpose? So that Ishmael would not be heir with Isaac. Natural Israel was cast off from being heir of the promise to bless all the families of the earth. Natural Israel is specifically excluded from being part of the seed of promise. This contradicts the teaching that natural Israel is part of the Abrahamic seed of blessing. The allegorical nature of Abraham's family also makes clear that natural Israel, pictured in Ishmael, and the Christ, the spiritual faith-based seed pictured in Isaac, are different seeds. Both are seeds of Abraham, but only one is the seed of promise, Isaac, picturing the anointed. If it is the spiritual seed that inherits the prime Abrahamic promise, and there is only one seed, then the natural or fleshly seed, by virtue of its natural descent alone, has absolutely no inheritance in it. We note, however, that Abraham, who was a type for God, sent Ishmael and Hagar away with water and food. To Ishmael was a promise made that he would become a great nation with 12 princes, the 12 tribes of Israel. The allegory of Abraham's family therefore strongly suggests that the fleshly seed of Abraham, natural Israel, is excluded from inheriting the Abrahamic promise to bless all the families of the earth. More importantly, we have scriptures that actually tell us this. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul makes clear that natural Israel is not the seed of promise. Here in verse 8, he tells us that Abraham's descendants according to the flesh, i.e. his natural descendants, are not the children of God, but it is the children of the promise that are counted for the seed. The natural descendants are specifically excluded, like Ishmael in the type. In verse 6, Paul says, not all of Israel are of Israel. Or in other words, natural descent does not mean automatic qualification for the true spiritual Israel. If natural Israel was a component of the seed of blessing, then all of natural Israel would be counted for the seed. However, natural Israelites could not qualify for the seed of blessing based solely on natural descent. Natural descent was insufficient because they also had to have faith in Jesus in order to be baptized into Christ and inherit the promise. And it was only a remnant of fleshly Israel that was taught by the law that righteousness could not be obtained by works of the law, and this remnant was transferred by faith into Christ, thereby obtaining imputed righteousness and allowing them to become members of the seed of promise. In verse 7, Paul again tells us that just because they are seed of Abraham does not mean that they are the children that inherit the promise. As we have seen, this is typified in the sons of Abraham. Ishmael was seed of Abraham, but it was Isaac that was the seed of promise. Ishmael was born to Abraham through his bondwoman Hagar, who was a type for natural Israel. Like Ishmael, natural Israel was born into slavery. Israel was enslaved to the law, which they had to keep perfectly in order to obtain righteousness, an impossible task because of the weakness of the flesh. Isaac, however, who was born not according to nature, unlike Ishmael, but according to the miraculous intervention of God, according to his promise to Abraham and Sarah. Isaac typified the true Israel, those of faith, either of Jewish background or Gentile background, leading to baptism into Christ, the one seed. And it is these that have Christ dwelling in them that are the true heirs of the promise. In Romans chapter 11, we have the single seed of promise based on faith, pictured as an olive tree, called and selected during the gospel age. Here, the olive tree pictures the spiritual Israelite seed that would inherit the promise to bless all the nations of the earth. It is a single olive tree paralleling the concept of the one seed of blessing. Natural Israel had first a natural access to this opportunity, as they were in covenant relationship with God. Israel also had the patriarchs and the oracles of God. Hence, they are pictured as the natural olive branches. We note that these natural branches were broken off because of unbelief. And it is this lack of faith that keeps individual Israelites from being grafted back into the olive tree of promise. Wild, that is Gentile branches, were then grafted in solely because of their faith. The final olive tree then, like the one seed, is made up of two groups. One, original natural believing olive branches, i.e. believers of Jewish background, and two, grafted in wild olive Gentile believers who are believers of Gentile background. But note what the Apostle Paul says in verse 23 again. The broken off unbelieving branches of natural Israelites are able to be grafted back in if they continue not in unbelief. Or in other words, if they come to have faith in Jesus, they can be grafted back into this Abrahamic seed of blessing, qualification for which is based on faith and faith alone, not natural descent alone. But what about the scriptural evidence in Genesis 22 that the seed would be of two parts, that as the stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore, and Romans 4:16. Do these not show that there would be a spiritual and fleshly seed of blessing? The stars of heaven and the sand of the seashore refer not directly to the seed as such, but to the fact that the seed would be greatly increased in number. That these two phrases are used to say the same thing is not uncommon in Hebrew. It is an idiom called synonymia. Another example of synonymia occurs in Exodus 1 verse 7, where we are told that the children of Israel were fruitful, increased abundantly, and multiplied. We are told pretty much the same thing three times. The stars of heaven is not specific to the spiritual seed, is evident when we look at other verses where it is used. As an example, here, God is predicting disasters on natural Israel, not spiritual Israel, because of their disobedience, and yet the phrase stars of heaven is used here. Note also that verse 62 tells us that the actual meaning of the phrase is, for it is used as the opposite of few in number, i.e. meaning numerous. This is worth emphasizing. The scripture interprets for us the meaning of stars of heaven here. It means the opposite of few in number, i.e. numerous or great in number. What about Romans 4 verse 16? Does this not show that the seed of promise is made up of two parts, those who are of the law, i.e. fleshly Israel, and those who are of faith, meaning spiritual Israel? A careful study of this verse and the context shows that this is not the case. The first phrase is key here. It is of faith. The seed, as we have seen time and again, is selected on the basis of faith and faith alone. This means that the two parts of the seed have faith as their basis for inclusion in the seed. This is a vital point. It is of faith, the it referring to qualification for the seed of promise. So who are those who are of the law? The phrase of the law is used by Paul in Romans 17 times, and in every case it refers to those that are or were previously under the law covenant, i.e. those of Jewish heritage. The immediately preceding verses in Romans 4 tell us that those of the law are those who were under the law covenant. This means fleshly Israel. Importantly, we are told that if the Abrahamic promise of the seed of blessing comes through the law, then the promise is made of no effect, i.e. there is no point to it. Moreover, if that is the case, then faith is made void. It is useless. So how do we put this together in verse 16? Who does those of the law refer to if it is not fleshly Israel? The key, as mentioned, is contained in the first phrase, it is of faith. So that putting these two elements together, i.e. faith, and those of Jewish background equals believers of Jewish background. This is the Jewish remnant of believing Jews that made up the nucleus of the early church in particular. These are the natural olive branches that were not broken off, as already mentioned. What about which is of the faith? Surely this can only refer to spiritual Israel, the household of faith. We have already noted that the key first phrase, it is of faith, means that both parts of the seed are faithful believers. So who exactly does which is of the faith refer to then? Firstly, we notice that the actual phrase is which is of the faith of Abraham, and not which is of the faith. Recognizing this difference is important, because which is of the faith does seem to suggest the whole household of faith. And this is how Pastor Russell quotes it. Here we have an example in reprint 201. But this partial quotation introduces a point of confusion and obscures the contextual meaning of the complete phrase, which is of the faith of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, Paul emphasizes the fact that Abraham is the spiritual father not only of believers of Jewish law covenant background, but also believers of Gentile background. For those believers of Jewish background, it was easy to accept that Abraham was their spiritual father, for he was their natural father, and they were his natural seed. Paul, however, points out that Abraham obtained righteousness by faith in a state of uncircumcision. Abraham received circumcision as a sign of that righteousness by faith in a state of uncircumcision. And this is a crucial point, I think, because this establishes a commonality between Abraham's faith and the faith of Gentile believers. And it is this commonality of righteousness by faith in a state of physical uncircumcision which establishes Abraham as the spiritual father of Gentile believers also. Which is of the faith of Abraham refers therefore not to the whole household of faith, but to believers of Gentile background who, like Abraham before he was circumcised, had righteousness by faith in a state of uncircumcision. Physical circumcision therefore divides believers into two groups. Firstly, those believers of Jewish law covenant background, and secondly, believers of Gentile background. The former Paul calls which is of the law, and the latter which is of the faith of Abraham. Romans 4:16 therefore teaches that there is one seed, based on faith alone, and that it is made up of believers of Jewish background and believers of Gentile background. The scriptures teach that there is one seed of promise and one seed only. This seed of blessing was brought into existence by the promise of God miraculously and not according to natural descent. It is made up of those that have faith in Jesus, including believers of Jewish background and those of Gentile background, depicted as natural olive branches and grafted in wild olive branches in the one olive tree. The meaning of seed in the scriptures precludes there being any other seed making up the seed of promise other than that based on faith. The allegorical nature of Abraham's family shows that despite having natural seed in Ishmael, the seed of promise by the miraculous intervention of God was Isaac. The natural seed was specifically excluded and cast out. The Apostle Paul contradicts directly the notion that a natural seed based on natural descent without faith is part of the promised seed of blessing. Rather than pointing to the spiritual seed, stars of heaven is used scripturally as the opposite of few, i.e. numerous. And lastly, Romans 4 verse 16 teaches that the two components of the seed of blessing are believers of Jewish background and believers of Gentile background. May the Lord add his blessing.